Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Professor Nick Maynard has spent 15 years engaging in surgical volunteering in Gaza, including during the most recent conflict. Professor Maynard joins us now to talk about his work in Gaza and a forthcoming fundraising talk in Kilkee for the Medical Aid for Palestinians charity. Nick, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for asking me on.
Now, first of all, what prompted you 15 years ago to volunteer to go to Gaza?
It was real serendipity. I'd been invited originally to go to the West Bank about 20 years ago to teach. And I just happened to be at a function. Someone said, "Are you free to come and teach in the West Bank at the medical schools?" I said, "Yes." So I went there, did that for a few years. And then in 2010, someone in the West Bank said, "Will you come and do that in Gaza?" So I'd already fallen in love with the Palestinians and was desperate to learn more. So, yes, I went to Gaza then for those reasons and have never really turned back.
Now, Gaza is never far from the headlines these days. But 15 years ago, what was the security situation? We know that there was an effective embargo of Gaza. I mean, it's been described many times as an open air prison, effectively, for the population. But what was the security situation like?
In those days, it was incredibly difficult to get in. You had to apply for your permit months in advance. And then the exercise of actually getting in on the day was, it took hours to go through the really intense security. We go in through, in those days, went in through Erez, which is the very top of Gaza, going in from Israel. Incredible security. And it was always very dangerous when we got into Gaza. I've never, ever been to Gaza in the 15 years I've been going without witnessing aerial bombardment. So it's a way of life for the people out there. It's a way of life for those healthcare workers who volunteer out there. I saw aerial bombardments every single trip.
Now, the kind of facilities they had available to them, we know they've precious little now, but routinely, did they have the kind of resources that they need to do normal medicine?
They've always been really challenged by lack of resources, a lack of facilities. They practiced a remarkably high level of medicine considering the lack of resources, but they were always short of things, and it was a very difficult environment to work in. My main specialty back home in Oxford in the UK is cancer surgery. So that's been a particular interest of mine. I've been helping them develop their cancer services over the years. But for example, they've never been able to give radiotherapy in Gaza. So anyone needing radiotherapy, a pretty basic treatment for cancer, would have to apply for permission to go abroad, usually to the West Bank, sometimes to Israel, sometimes to Jordan or Egypt. And that was pretty hit and miss whether they get permission to go away, to go abroad.
And this is based on some stupid assumption that if you allow radioisotopes into Gaza, they might build a bomb.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's been the excuse for why so many things have not been allowed in there. But they do not stand up to rational examination, those claims.
So over the 15 years, as you say, bombardment almost every time you went. At the same time, what we've seen in recent months has been just appalling. The last couple of years have been deeply shocking. But still, you went back during the most difficult times.
Yeah, I had a trip booked to go. I had flights booked to fly in on October the 21st, 2023, to go in and spend another week doing cancer surgery as part of a project I've been involved in developing cancer services. That was cancelled for obvious reasons, but I said to Medical Aid for Palestinians, the charity I go in with, I work closely with them, that I was desperate to go in at the first available opportunity. And so, indeed, I led the very first team that went to the first emergency team that went in after October the 7th. We went in on Christmas 2023. And it just seemed an inevitable thing that I had to do because I care so deeply. I've got so many friends and family there that I felt I had to go and help them.
Now, what did you find in Christmas 2023? We're only a couple of months after October the 7th, and the Israelis obviously were ramping up their offensive in Gaza. What did you find that Christmas?
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
So we saw already by then a huge amount of destruction. I was based at that point in Al-Aqsa Hospital in Deir al-Balah in the middle part of Gaza. But the narrative from those 2 or 3 weeks I was there on that occasion was just non-stop mass casualties from aerial bombardment. So we saw a huge amount of severe explosive injuries from bombs, mainly women and children. 70% of the people I operated on, I treated, were women and children. The most terrible injuries that you can imagine. And even that early on into this military assault, we saw the first signs of severe malnutrition. And that became a much more predominant theme in my subsequent trips. But even that, in those very early days, terrible, terrible injuries.
Now, the healthcare infrastructure was attacked by the Israelis, always claiming that they were using the hospitals as effective human shields and therefore they were legitimate targets for the Israeli defense forces. Did you ever see any sign of that happening in the medical facilities where you worked?
No, not at all. And of course, those claims that repeatedly come out of Israeli propaganda, and I'm afraid supported by my government and the media in the West, do not stand up to any intelligent scrutiny at all. They have never provided any verifiable or credible evidence to support those claims. And healthcare workers such as me and many others have been there who have had unlimited access to all these hospitals, to every single part of these hospitals, have never seen any evidence of any Hamas militants there. We can't comment. I clearly can't comment on what's going on in any tunnels. I can't comment in what's going on in peripheral buildings that have no clinical use in the hospital. But what I can say that in the clinical areas, there has never been any evidence of that. And of course, it's the clinical areas which the Israelis are attacking and bombing. And none of us have ever seen any Hamas militant activity in those areas.
Now, the destruction of this medical infrastructure, you were there as recently as, what, July?
End of July, yeah.
How complete is that destruction? I mean, are people reduced to trying to do surgery in tents nowadays, or are any of the hospitals and clinics still functioning?
So there are 36 hospitals or healthcare facilities in Gaza. They've all been attacked. About 11 or 12 are partly functioning, but there's only one hospital, which is Nasser Hospital, where I was most recently based. It's the last remaining big hospital. It's the last remaining hospital that can carry out major trauma surgery. But even that hospital is barely functioning. It's overwhelmed with work. We have had incredibly few facilities, resources to work with. There are some field hospitals, which are effectively tents, where you can carry out surgery, but the resources are very, very limited. So very poor sterile conditions. We, 1 2-week period, we had no sterile drapes, for example, for the operating table, often running out of gloves to operate with no water sometimes. So extremely challenging circumstances to practice medicine.
Now, you obviously can leave, and you have left, and then you've gone back again and again and again. The Palestinians who can't leave, what is the impact on them having to face these kind of conditions to try to help people who are injured and knowing that they don't have the resources to do it properly?
Yeah, and that's such an important point you raised. They are almost completely destroyed physically and mentally. They are exhausted. They are all starving. I mean, the malnutrition, as we know, much of Gaza is now formally designated as a famine status. The healthcare workers are starving. They're all very hungry. Some of my friends and colleagues who I hadn't seen for maybe 6 months or so had lost 20 kilograms in weight. So They are suffering hugely, but despite that, they are still working incredibly hard, sometimes day and night, to try and save the lives of their Gazan colleagues and friends.
It's thought by many people that the Israelis were out to destroy Gaza to the point that it would be unlivable. I mean, blocks of apartments razed to the ground under a bombardment for no particular purpose, it would seem, except to deny people livable accommodation. And we know from your account there, the medical infrastructure destroyed. They depend on the Israelis for everything from fuel to run desalination plants to power generators and so on and so forth. I mean, is Gaza really livable anymore?
I mean, what you say is absolutely true. I've witnessed virtually every single day clear evidence of war crimes, clear evidence of genocide, which have now, of course, the United Nations has recognized, but clear evidence of ethnically cleansing the whole of the country. And I've been left in no doubt whatsoever, and indeed all of us who've been out and volunteered there have been left in no doubt whatsoever. This is so much more than simply trying to destroy Hamas. This is about ethnically cleansing the Palestinians out of Gaza and destroying the whole infrastructure of living. They've destroyed the healthcare system. They've destroyed the educational system. They've destroyed, as you say, most of the water desalination plants, the fishing industry, the agricultural industry. They've destroyed the whole infrastructure of living with a clear intention, in my view, of trying to get all of the Gazans out of Gaza.
And you can understand that parents of a young family would think there's no future here for our kids. So we'll go, even though, you know, this is our home. We don't want to leave it. But there are those who are determined to rebuild and to stay in spite of everything the Israelis do.
Yeah, I mean, many of the people I know will refuse to leave, saying this is their home. They are hopeful that eventually they will get a chance to rebuild. And even those that have left vow to return as soon as they can with the clear aim of rebuilding their homeland.
Well, it's a tragic situation. It's a devastating situation. You will be coming to County Clare, I believe, on November the 30th for a talk at Cultúrlan Sweeney in Kilkee in County Clare. It's starting at 6 o'clock and tickets can be obtained from cultúrlansweeney.ie. And I'm sure you'll have a sellout crowd on the night itself.
I'm looking forward to it.
Professor Nick Maynard, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.